This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hello and welcome. I'm feeling quite chirpy today, quite possibly because I've got two children in school, which is exciting, but irrelevant, I know. So today I want to talk about where the best places are, or where some places are, to sell your products online. Because if you're thinking of selling physical products, the chances are you've already had a think about where to sell them. And in fact, I know some people, this is something they think about right at the start, sometimes even before they've thought too much about the product itself. I get plenty of people contacting me who want to sell on Amazon, for example, and we will talk about that a bit later. So what I want to do today is cover off some of the places that you can sell your products online and talk about the pros and cons of each of them. There's a few reasons I want to do this. One is because I'm going to give you a rundown of lots of different places you can sell your products, and I might throw out some ideas of places that you haven't even considered before. So for example, my products at the moment and for the last little while have done really well on eBay, which isn't a marketplace I ever thought about selling them. I just didn't think it would be a good fit, but actually it turns out that it's doing quite well. So, you know, you might get an idea like that. And then the other reason I want to talk about some of the places you can sell is because they might or might not be a good place for your product, for your brand, and just for you. Because each of these marketplaces, while they obviously have upsides, there are some downsides as well. So I just want to give you a really honest overview so that you can start thinking about which marketplace might be best for you. And as I say, perhaps thinking of considering some that you hadn't been thinking about already. So the first marketplace I'm going to start talking about is Amazon, which is obviously a huge one. As I say, I sell my products on Amazon. I get lots of inquiries and people wanting to start selling on Amazon, and I help and work with a lot of Amazon sellers every day. So it seemed like the sensible one to start with. And as I say, it's a huge marketplace. So according to Google, when I looked yesterday, there are over 200 million people visiting Amazon.com every month. And you have to remember, that's huge, but that is just one of Amazon's marketplaces. Because wherever you are in the world, well, I say wherever, perhaps there are some restrictions, but technically, you can also sell on all of the European sites, which now include the Netherlands and Switzerland. You can sell on Amazon Japan, Amazon China, Australia, Canada, Brazil, Mexico, India. I'm not sure how many I've listed, but there are 14 in total. So that's a lot of marketplaces. And obviously some of them, I believe, Singapore, that's another one I've just thought of. Obviously some of them are going to be bigger than others, but that's a lot of marketplaces and a lot of customers that you have access to. So what kind of product is Amazon best for? So you can sell a lot of things on Amazon, although I would suggest doing your research first to check that there is actually demand. And I would do your research based on the marketplace or marketplaces that you want to sell your products, because obviously demand is going to vary on the different marketplaces. So just because a product sells very well on Amazon.com, for example, doesn't necessarily mean it will sell as well on Amazon in the UK. There are some products where competition on Amazon is really, really high, so it's going to be really hard for you to stand out, or people just wouldn't think of going to Amazon to look for those products in the first place. And if you're looking to sell products that fit either of those categories, I think it's a really hard place to start from. If you're wanting to launch a really unique product, for example, as Amazon's driven by search results, if people don't know your product exists, they might not be searching for it. So it can be a really hard place to launch if your product is unique. That doesn't mean it's impossible, because you can, if you do some really good keyword research, so you get an understanding of the kind of things people will be searching for if they were looking for products similar to yours, or if they have problems that will, you know, if you know the problems that your product solves and you have an idea of the kind of things people would be looking for, you know, if to solve that problem, you know, you can definitely still do really well on Amazon. But it is quite a hard marketplace to get started on, and I personally think it's getting harder all the time, simply because there are just more and more sellers joining it every day, every week, every month. And if you're planning on using Fulfilled by Amazon, so that's Amazon FBA, where Amazon store your stock for you, that can get expensive if it doesn't sell fast enough. So if you're not sure whether your product is an ideal fit for Amazon, but you want to sell on there, I would suggest either not using Amazon FBA and fulfilling orders yourself, which is a lot cheaper. You can set up what's called, I think I'm actually forgotten what this is called. It's basically an individual seller account where you don't pay a monthly fee and you fulfill all the orders you get there yourself. You do still pay a little fee on each item that you sell. Or I would suggest sending a small quantity of items to FBA if that's something, you know, you definitely want to consider. Because what you don't want to do is have hundreds of items in there that you can't sell, and then you basically start incurring really big fees for Amazon to store them, and also you get really big fees if you want them to send them back to you. So if you're thinking of launching a product that you're not sure whether Amazon is the right fit or not, that's how I certainly would suggest you go about it. Definitely don't go all in if there's a bit of a question mark. So let's talk about some of the pros of selling on Amazon. Well, I guess the first one and the obvious one is it's a really large marketplace. People know Amazon, people trust Amazon. I don't know about you, but quite often if I'm looking to buy anything, it's one of the first places I go to, depending on the product, obviously. There are things, as I say, more unique products. So I was looking this week for some prints to go on my son's bedroom wall, and I didn't go to Amazon for that. I went to a different marketplace. I went to Not on the High Street, which we'll talk about later on, because I felt that was a better fit for the kind of thing I was looking for. But 9 times out of 10, if I want to buy anything, I go to Amazon, and possibly you do too. Another pro is if you decide to use Amazon FBA, so that's again, that's Fulfilled by Amazon, where they handle the logistics, so they store your products and they ship them for you and they handle the returns. Okay, there is a cost to that, but it does save you time and it does save you having to figure out all the logistics by yourself. So there definitely are some benefits there. Amazon also has a built-in algorithm that recommends your products to people who might be interested in them based on what they've purchased or searched for already. This doesn't happen overnight, so if you're a very new seller, you're only just on there, this possibly won't happen. But what you do find with Amazon is they reward sales. So if your product's selling reasonably well, they start showing it to more people, which is always nice. And I guess the other pro is the customers are there. So you don't need to worry about necessarily about going out to find customers. You just need to focus on the customers being able to find your product, because all kinds of people shop on Amazon. So it's fairly likely that your customers, it all comes back to what you're selling. Depending on what you're selling, chances are your customers are shopping on Amazon. So it's, you know, it's not like you're having to, you know, drive them to your website, for example. However, they do have to find your product when they get there. And then we're going to cover that now when we talk about some of the downsides of selling on Amazon. So I guess the first one is there's a bit of an art to creating an Amazon product listing. If your listing isn't well optimized for search results, it doesn't sell the benefits of your product rather than the features, it doesn't have great images, you will struggle to get found, and if you'll also struggle to convert your visitors into sales. I spend a lot of my time now helping Amazon sellers either write or optimize their Amazon product listings. If you want any help with this, you can get in touch. It's vicky@tinychipmunk.com. Because writing an Amazon product listing, as I say, is a bit of an art, and the quality of listings on Amazon is getting higher. There's something called Amazon A Plus content now, which is where you might have seen extra images and graphics and things on listings. As a seller, these are all brilliant that you can take advantage of these features, but it does mean you have to put a lot of work into making sure yours is a listing, one, that gets found in the first place, and two, that stands out and converts visitors into sales. And also, on top of all of this, you also need to ensure that the listing you create is Amazon compliant. There are lots of rules around the photography. There are lots of rules around the words you can and can't use in a listing. There are character limits, which are very strict. And these rules change constantly and often without any communication, which is, as you can imagine, pretty frustrating. As I mentioned before, for some products and categories, there's a lot of competition, which can make it harder and harder to get initial sales. And the thing with Amazon is, and with a lot of marketplaces, you need sales to help with your ranking, because the more sales you make, the more Amazon likes you, because you're making them more money effectively, and the more customers you get sold to, you get shown to, so you make more sales. But it's really hard to get sales initially. So I usually suggest, when you start out, paying for Amazon sponsored products, which is basically pay-per-click marketing. And the downside here is this can get expensive, and it obviously is not guaranteed to work. It gives you a better chance of getting seen in those first weeks and months than if you don't pay for any marketing and you just hope you get found organically. I think getting found organically on Amazon as a new product, where you haven't built up any sales history, any reviews, is really hard. So Amazon sponsor products can definitely help with that. However, it can get expensive. And as always, I'd love to be able to tell you sort of how much it costs. People ask me this quite often. But actually, it really depends on the product that you're selling, on the category you're selling in, because the cost per click, like with Google Shopping or any other pay-per-click, Facebook ads, anything at all, the cost per click really varies based on however many people are competing for that keyword. So it's so variable. It's really hard to say. I would say, as a ballpark, you'd be wanting to spend at least £5 a day, possibly £10, in order to kind of really get seen in those first weeks and months, which is another investment, and something, if you're looking to sell on Amazon, I think definitely something you want to be sort of building into your budget. So, speaking of things that are tricky, not all products can be sold on Amazon. So I don't think there's many things you can't sell, but there definitely are some, and there is actually a list buried somewhere that tells you all the products that you can and can't sell on Amazon. So if you're selling something and you're a bit dubious, or actually, will they let me sell this, do check the list. You also need permission to sell some products and to sell in some categories. So I can't give you a definitive list here, as this changes such a lot, and again, without much communication. So I'm recording this at the beginning of October, and I know that lots of products, so for example, face masks are hard to sell on Amazon now. You need to get approval for that. Hand wash certainly used to be. I don't know if that's still the case. Supplements are something where you need to go through some approvals. For some products, it's not like you're going to get a yes or a no as such. It's like they want to see safety data information and other information to prove that your product's safe before you can list it. So there are sometimes some hoops to jump through. And again, I'm not saying this to put you off by any means. I just always like to be honest with you, and I just want you to know what to expect. And definitely don't get put off. I think the thing with Amazon is, and we're going to talk about this a bit now, is that their systems aren't simple. The seller support isn't always helpful. So that's basically the customer service, the people that help you if you have a problem. The rules, if you want to call them rules, guidelines, whatever, often change. And as I say, little communication, no communication. And my top tip to anyone who's trying to get anywhere with Amazon is just persevere, because I find it takes a lot of perseverance to get your questions answered and your issues resolved. You can ask seller support a question, and you'll get what you can basically tell is like a copy and paste answer. It doesn't answer your question, and you might have to send your original question in again, and then you get another copy and paste answer, and then you send it in a third or fourth or fifth time, and finally someone's answered your question. And it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Because if you've ever contacted Amazon customer service as a customer, I'm sure you've had great customer service. Well, I always have. I've never had a problem. As a seller, it's just not the same. Lots of new sellers struggle with this, and I am sure this is one thing that puts people off. Because as I say, the system isn't always that intuitive. You know, you can try and add a product listing and you've got a problem, so you contact seller support to find out why, and you know, you get an answer back that maybe doesn't make any sense to you, doesn't answer your question. Lots of people either give up or they contact someone like me or another Amazon, I want to say expert, but I don't like calling myself an expert, but you know what I mean. They contact someone who's got experience selling on Amazon who can help them out. And there are, you know, there are loads of us out there that can help you if you don't fancy doing it yourself. And I wouldn't blame you. It's quite a lot to tackle. I've got two more cons. I'm sorry, it does sound like there are a lot of cons to selling on Amazon. As I say, it's a great marketplace, but yeah, but there definitely are some downsides. So the fees can be quite high, particularly if you're doing FBA. So that will eat into your margins. That's something to factor in. There is a calculator available, and I will put the link to this in the show notes, actually, because I think this will be helpful. But if you type in FBA fee calculator, you may be able to find it, where you can use that tool to work out what the fees would be in advance before you sort of sign up and commit to anything. I think that's really useful. One thing just to consider is that they will add VAT to what you see showing up on the calculator results, so just bear that in mind, because that sometimes isn't clear. And if you haven't, you know, added the VAT into your calculations, then obviously they're not going to be that accurate. And then the final thing is that Amazon own the customer. So what I mean by this is you don't get access to name. Well, yes, you do. You can see the name of the people who've bought your product, but you don't get email addresses and things like that. So if you're trying to build up your brands, you're trying to build up your own email list, that can make it a little bit more difficult. As with everything, there are ways around this. So I send follow-up emails to everyone who buys off me on Amazon, a little email, and Amazon do allow me to put my logo in there, so that's quite good. And obviously my logo is on my product as well, which is good for brand recognition. I also put an insert inside all of my packaging, which directs people to my website if they want to take a look at more of my products. And I've got like a freebie, which is a swaddling guide people can get hold of if they would like that, and it's only available on my website with email sign up, in the hope that, you know, some people buy my product on Amazon, they'll like what they see, they'll like the sound of getting this guide, and they'll go to my website and give me their email address. Obviously not everyone does, but certainly I think more people do than if I wasn't offering that. But yeah, you don't get all the customer details on Amazon. However, and I know that I've just given you a huge list of downsides, I do still say it's a good marketplace. It's where I make the majority of my sales. And I do think that for some products, it can, you know, it can do exceptionally well. I guess my main thing is I wouldn't want that to be the only place you sell your products. Just because, you know, things can go wrong. At the moment, for example, I'm experiencing an issue where I can't edit any of my product listings because some sort of internal Amazon error. It's been like that for a week. And obviously that's a massive inconvenience. So I would, and they can kick you off. That's the other thing. You can get your listings deactivated for various reasons. You just have a bit less control when you don't own the marketplace. I've heard people say this about social media, you know, that it's not your own house, as it were. You don't make the rules and you can get kicked off. And I feel the same about selling on Amazon or any other third party marketplace, if I'm honest. And that's why I always advocate for having your own website, however basic it might be, on top of anywhere else that you sell. And we'll talk about your own website a little bit later. But the next marketplace I want to talk about is eBay. So again, eBay is a huge marketplace, and there are a lot of people that shop there every day. I didn't actually look at the figures for this one, but you know, we know it's a lot, and you have much more control on eBay than you do on Amazon. So what kind of products is eBay good for? I personally think it seems like anything goes. I know that you might be thinking, well, actually it's a place for used products, but I sell new products on there, and also refurbished ones, you know, ones with a box, you know, box damage and stuff that I can't sell as new, and both sell very well on Amazon. I would always suggest researching before you decide to sell on there, not because of sort of money. It doesn't actually cost anything to throw up an Amazon listing, I don't think you pay unless you sell, so that's, you know, that's a plus side, but just to save you the time, really. So you can look at current listings to see the kind of, if people have got a buy now price for listings similar to yours, products similar, you can see what that is. You can also look up previous sold prices on eBay, so you can do quite a bit of free research on there to get an idea of what the competition's like. And you can list up to 20 items a month without a fee. So I think it's a good place to test out your product to see how well it sells. And you might find it surprises you. So while, yeah, I would do a bit of research before putting something on there just to make sure it's worth your time. But actually, you know, it's fairly simple to set up a listing. It's not going to take a huge amount of time. So it might be one that is worth you just going for anyway and just seeing what happens. So let's talk about the pros, so the upsides of selling on eBay. So the fees, I think, are fairly reasonable. They're certainly less than on Amazon anyway, although they can and do change. So depending when you're listening to this, they may or may not be as reasonable. But I still think they're probably fairly low. There aren't that many restrictions on how you present your products, so the kind of photography you use, how you write your listing, the words you use, how you format them, things like that, which makes it pretty simple to get a listing up in the first place. As I said before, if you don't sell your product, you don't pay anything. So yes, you might spend some time creating a listing, but you won't have spent money on it, which is good. You can now, I think this is a fairly new thing anyway, pay for promotions to drive traffic to your listings. It's not that expensive. You self-set the percentage fee you want to pay should you get a click from a promoted listing. Personally, I haven't seen that many results for promotions on eBay yet. I've been running them for a couple of months and I'm still getting more organic sales. But I guess that shows that that's a good thing as well. Obviously, you still need to be thinking about keywords when you sell on eBay. So that's something worth mentioning. Probably not to the same extent that you do on Amazon. However, if you've done research on Amazon into product keywords and you know you've got an optimized product title and description, I would just use the same text for eBay because you kind of already know that people are searching for those terms on Amazon. Chances are they're going to be searching for similar ones on eBay as well. And if you haven't got an Amazon listing but you're looking to sell on eBay, I would just do a little bit of research on eBay, search for some products and kind of see the words that other sellers are using for products similar to yours, whatever words they're using in the title and the description that you just need to make sure you have in yours so you show up. And the other thing I like is, since I first started selling on eBay, which was a while ago, and I'm talking now, you know, just for personal things, I've actually noticed that the interface has improved quite a lot. It's really easy to navigate. There's some new dashboard features which are quite nice. All in all, I think the user experience is pretty good, and in fact there's probably even more on there than I'm aware of is on there. There's probably more you can do and more you can see, but personally I think going on there is quite a nice experience. I've never had to contact eBay seller support or customer service, I don't know what you call them, for anything related to selling on eBay. I've just found it to be quite a seamless process, and let's hope it continues that way. So talking now about the downsides of selling on eBay. So the first one is you have no control over who else is selling your products, what they're charging for them, and how they represent you, your product, your brand. And I guess you could say the same, you know, you could say the same about Amazon, but I guess at least on Amazon, if someone else is selling your product, and let's say Amazon have something called brand sellers, so for example Tiny Chipmunk, my brand, is a brand, it's a registered brand, I have a UK trademark, I'm registered as a company. If someone else tries to sell my product, I can go to Amazon and say, well look, I haven't given anyone else permission to sell my product, this is my product, you know, here's all this information, and they'll kick them off. On eBay you can't do that, so it does mean that somebody else could buy your product. They could be selling it for, the, you know, trying to undercut you, selling it cheaper than you. They could be selling used versions, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's also harder, I believe, to build a brand on eBay than it is on some other platforms, although you can pay for a shop. So what I mean here is, I think on Amazon you still have the option to make your brand quite prominent, whereas if you buy something on eBay, I'll be quite honest, I don't know about you, but I buy a little bit on eBay. I couldn't tell you the name of the seller ever. Possibly I could tell you the brand of the product if I was looking for a branded product, but if not, if I was just looking for a generic product and I bought whichever one best fit the bill, I probably wouldn't know which brand it was. Which comes back to my point about why I think it's also good to have your own website. So listings expire, so you need to keep on top of them. So on some marketplaces you create a product list and it's there forever. That's not actually the case on eBay, so you need to think about this. And if you hit your listing limit, which varies, so basically this is the number of products you're allowed to sell in a, I think it's in a month, then you can't create any more listings within that month without applying for an increase. And if you apply for an increase, though, chances are, you know, you'll get one. I've never had any problems there, but it's just something to be aware of. So next marketplace I want to talk about is Etsy. So Etsy is a marketplace for handmade, originally designed vintage items and craft supplies, although that's certainly the way that Etsy itself would describe the marketplace. So in terms of what kind of products it's best for, Etsy is a specialised marketplace and your products have to meet, you know, a set criteria. I've definitely seen products on there, though, that aren't handmade but are unique. So, for example, digital downloads of clothing patterns. I've seen some affirmation cards that are definitely printed. I wouldn't say they're handmade. They've also been, you know, professionally printed. However, they are unique products. And I'm not sure how well the site is policed in that sense, because I believe it did just used to be handmade products. But given that people tend to go there looking for original products, I'd say that if your product doesn't fit that category, so if you're looking to sell something really generic that you know could be on Amazon, could be on eBay, could be anywhere, I'd say that Etsy probably won't be the marketplace for you. There are some plus points though, as there are with all marketplaces. So if you know, if you're selling a product that is a good fit for Etsy, so one of the plus points is that you don't need to purchase UPC codes or barcodes to sell on Etsy, whereas on lots of other marketplaces you do need to register your products with barcodes to sell there. So as it's quite a niche site, lots of visitors would head there before even doing a Google search if they have something specific in mind. So you kind of, you know, as with Amazon, you know, the customers are there, it's just a case of them finding your product on the site. So setting up on Etsy is simple and it's initially free. I've been told that it's a really easy platform to use to create listings, edit listings, and just basically to navigate. All the feedback I've had from Etsy sellers is it's a good place to be. And you can sell digital products as well as physical ones. And there are also integrations within Etsy. So say you're selling some kind of digital download, you can have it set up so customer orders, the payment's taken, the download's emailed to them, and you haven't had to touch a thing. You know, you set all of that up and it's automated, it happens for you, which is obviously a really big time saver. Of course, it takes some work to set up, as these things do, but it's quite nice that once it's done, it's all automated and does it for you. So some of the downsides is that really you can only sell a very specific type of product, so, you know, this might not be the marketplace for you. Well, that's not necessarily a downside though, but just a fact, I guess. It's becoming quite saturated. I believe that there is a lot more competition than there was before. But then again, isn't everywhere. I know so many more people, and perhaps it's just the circles I move in, but I feel like I know so many more people who sell products than I did, say, 5 years ago. And as I say, that might just be because of who I'm sort of engaging with. But I do believe that all marketplaces are, you know, are getting new sellers at quite a high rate, so that's not something that I believe should put you off. If you've got a really good product, then absolutely go for it. And it can also be harder to build up brand awareness. It's often people know they bought something on Etsy, but they don't necessarily know who they bought it from. However, I have been told by Etsy sellers, I don't sell on Etsy, but I have been told by Etsy sellers that people do sometimes come back to give lovely feedback, particularly if they've bought some sort of bespoke item and they love it. They will often still come back and, you know, give feedback, give reviews, find sellers on Instagram. So I think that that's not so much of an issue as is on some of the other marketplaces. Okay, so next I'd like to talk about Not on the High Street. So Not on the High Street is the biggest online gifting marketplace in the UK, and there are more than 39 million unique visitors annually, and I took that directly from their website, so hopefully that's right. So in terms of what kind of product it's best for, unique and customizable products tend to do really well. Not on the High Street says it's on the lookout for innovative and original ideas and something a little different. So I actually applied to sell on Not on the High Street a while ago, and I'll say a while ago, I think it's a couple of years ago now, and they turned me down on the basics that a lot of my products were while my some of my products are unique, as in they're uniquely designed, they wanted them all to have the option of personalization. And at the time, and actually still now, there's only one of my products that I can personalize with a name on there. And I think, so that was basically the reason that they weren't happy with it. So I think if you're selling like a standard out-of-the-box product, unless it's exceptionally unique, it might not be the best place for you. But I think it's a fantastic place for gift items. It's certainly somewhere I go if I'm looking to buy gifts. And I think that if you're in the gifting sort of, if your product's in the gifting arena, I think that's it's definitely somewhere to consider. And so again, the pros are that you can get in front of a lot of customers. It's a site people have heard of. It's got a lot of credibility. Not on the High Street does a lot of marketing as well, and often features different products and brands. And I was about to say you don't pay for that, so you don't directly pay for that, but I think you might do indirectly, which I'll talk about in a minute. And it tries not to have too many similar products on their site, so there won't be too much competition. This is something that they actually state, that they don't want hundreds of people selling a very similar product. So for a seller, I think that's a good thing, because it means there's less competition for you and more chance you'll sell out. So in terms of the downsides, as I mentioned a minute ago, not everyone who applies to sell here will get accepted. However, I will say that if you apply and don't get accepted, I certainly got really good feedback as to why that was the case and what I could do if I wanted to get accepted in the future, which is really positive. If this is a place you think, actually, I really want to be on here, absolutely reach out and ask for feedback on what you would need to do to make your products eligible, because my experience was they were very happy to actually talk to me about that. And the other downside is you need to pay a setup cost. The last time I checked, it was £199 plus VAT, and you pay 25% commission on every item sold. So that's quite high. That's higher than Amazon, higher than eBay, higher than a lot of places, I think. So just something to bear in mind. Obviously, I don't know what kind of traffic and sales you would get from being there, but I think it's something to consider sort of carefully. And something else to mention is, recently I've actually found out that if you want to sell on the High Street, they don't actually want you to have your products available on other marketplaces. So if you were selling on Amazon, for example, and you wanted to sell not on the High Street, they'd actually want you to stop. So again, if you're selling on Amazon and you were generating, you know, really good revenue every month, it would be a bit of a gamble. So as I say, none of this is, of course, ever intended to sway you or to put you off anything. It's just to, you know, get you thinking about what might be best for you. And of course, these rules can and do change as well. So whenever you're looking to get started on any marketplace, do go and check out, you know, how they're operating now, what the fees are now, what the requirements are now, because a lot can change between me recording this and you listening. So next place I want to talk about are niche websites. So by this I mean sites that either specialise in a certain kind of product or a certain kind of seller. For example, a niche site might be a store that sells craft supplies, or it might be a marketplace for sellers who are parents, which is actually one that I sell on. So if there's a niche website that fits your product or fits you as a person or you as a business, then it's definitely something worth considering. The marketplace I sell on is called All By Mama. So it's a marketplace for products and services, actually, by parents. And I'll link over to that in the show notes in case you want to go and take a look. And so there are, again, pros to this. So one is that visitors to these websites are there as they have an interest in products similar to yours. So if you are selling craft products and you join a niche marketplace that sells craft supplies, you know you already have a captive audience who want what you have to sell. The fees can be lower than on the big marketplaces, which makes it more affordable, but of course this varies across marketplaces, so this is something you need to actually look into. I can't guarantee this will be the case. Sometimes at these marketplaces, particularly if they're for a type of seller rather than a type of product, also have like a community element to it. So as I say, All By Mama, which is one of the ones that I sell on, by selling on there, you can actually join a membership, so you're connected with other parents who are also selling products, and so there's a really nice community element to that as well, which I think has lots of benefits, which I've talked about. I've lots of guests in lots of podcast episodes, so I won't go into that again now. but I do think that's a really nice benefit of selling somewhere a bit more niche. And you also have a bit more access to the people running the site. So, this, you know, the service you receive if you have any problems that you need sorting out, I think all of that can be better than working with somewhere a bit bigger. In terms of the downsides, there may well be other sellers, and perhaps lots of other sellers, selling the same or very similar products to your own. So you might need to work hard to stand out, because especially if other sellers have been selling for longer than you, they might have built up a bit of credibility and some sales history that you won't necessarily have. However, that's the case on lots of marketplaces. And again, the benefits perhaps of being on a more niche site is that, you know, I feel like there might be less competition and you might actually be able to help each other rather than be in competition. And these marketplaces might not be as well known as some of the bigger ones I've already spoken about, so they might not be the only place you want to sell online if you're looking to get lots of traffic and sales, because people might not necessarily be coming to these websites as often as they are to some of the bigger ones like Amazon, eBay and on High Street. However, if, as I say, because they are a bit more niche, it might be that, yes, less people are visiting them, but the people that are visiting them are, you know, they're more of your ideal customer, and they're actually visiting with an intent to purchase rather than just browsing. So all of this is things to look into. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is having your own website. And if you want to grow your brand, your customer base, your email list, I think having your own e-commerce site is a really good option for you. I actually think that all brands should have one, even if you think you're going to make most of your sales elsewhere. And in terms of what kind of product it's best for, well, I feel anything. I mean, it's your site, it's your domain, you have total control, which is the first sort of pro that I want to talk about. I mean, you have complete control of the look and feel of your site, the content of your site, the photography style of your site, absolutely everything, because it's yours. There are lots of user-friendly e-commerce website builders that you can choose from now. I actually use Shopify, which I really like. It was really simple to set up, really easy to get it to look how I wanted it to look. I didn't have to do any code or anything like that. Actually, maybe I did a little bit for something, but you know, there are lots of apps that integrate with it, and you can do a lot without having, you know, just by clicking buttons and filling in fields, basically, if you're a bit daunted by the thought of building your own site. Depending how you decide to fulfill your products, you might find that some of the sites, the inventory can also integrate with other channels, so Amazon, eBay and other marketplaces, so you can control your stock from one place. Shopify certainly does this. I really like it because everything's sort of synced up. You're in complete control of your cross because there are no hidden fees. You're not going to pay referral fees or anything like that. So you're going to set your own prices, you're going to set your own shipping costs, and you're much more in control of your margins. And of course, if you want to drive more traffic to your site, then you can use things such as Google Shopping to do, which you can't do to Amazon or anything else. So, for example, you can't set up a Google Shopping campaign linked to your Amazon listing, but you can to a listing on your own website. And equally, if you don't want to have an e-commerce website, but you just want to have a website with a bit of brand awareness, you can link from your own website, which could be a really simple, even a one pager. You could link through to your Amazon listing. You're not on the High Street listing or wherever it is you want to direct people to make the actual sale. So basically, you're in control of everything, which is nice. And also, you own the customer details. So what I mean by this is, as I said before, places like Amazon keep the information from you. You know, you're never going to get a customer's email address from Amazon, but if someone buys from you on your own site, you get their email address and other contact details. So it's a nice way of building up your email list and your followers. Right, so let's talk about some of the downsides of selling on your own website. So first one is, if you're building a website from scratch, you will have to do a bit of work to actually get traffic to your website in the first place. So SEO, or search engine optimization, is important, and you will need to work hard initially to get people onto your site. So whether you do that organically by SEO, whether you do Facebook ads or Instagram ads or any, you know, Google Shopping or any kind of ads, to get people over there, you may not have to do that, but that is an option. Or you may choose to just rely on really good SEO and really good content. But it's definitely not a case of building a website and, you know, hundreds of people turning up with their credit cards. It just doesn't happen. People have to actually be able to find you, which is a little bit harder if they don't maybe know that you're there. You will also have to pay for a domain and usually also a monthly fee for whatever platform you're choosing. So for example, if you want to use Shopify, there are different monthly packages depending where exactly you want to sell. So there's like a basic package and then they're sort of tiered upwards depending on the features that you need. And then of course you pay for your domain fee. So for my case, that's tinychipmunk.com. So I use GoDaddy for my hosting, I pay them for that domain, and then I pay Shopify a fee for actually having the actual website. So just something to consider. And setting up your own website is a bit of a commitment in terms of time and the cost. So just that's something, as I say, just to factor in, because presumably once you set up your own website, you're going to have it forever, or at least for the lifetime that you're selling your product. So that, you know, that hosting fee, whatever that is, and that monthly fee for or annual fee for having a website, that's going to be like an ongoing cost that doesn't disappear. It's not something you pay once and then you're done. You're going to be paying that consistently. So that's just something to bear in mind. I don't think any of these things should put you off. I really think that having your own e-commerce store, or even if you don't want an e-commerce store, a very basic website with just brand information, although ideally an e-commerce store, I think is you know, I think you really need to have it. And I also think you need somewhere on that store or website where you can capture people's email addresses. So of course you can do that at checkout. So if someone buys from you, you get their email address and you can sort of building up an email list. And if you know, you can also do as I do and offer some kind of freebie. Maybe it's some sort of download like my throttling guide, or perhaps it's even, you know, a percentage discount if somebody buys, you know, signs up to your email list. I do think it's worth having. And I know I've been saying this a few times, so I'll just briefly explain. The reason I think you need an email list is so that when you launch new products or you have a sale, you know, you've got a product you want to not get rid of, but you know, you want to sell off a bit quicker, or maybe you want some feedback from your customers on should I offer this product in this color or that color, whatever it might be, you've just got an audience of people that you can tell and ask and engage with. And yeah, of course you can do that on social media, but like anything, you don't own your social media platforms. You could in theory, I suppose, get thrown off them. I don't really know if that happens. Hopefully it won't never happen to any of us, but it could. Whereas your website, your email list is yours and you've got complete control, and I really think that's something that's important. So the final platform or marketplace I want to talk about is selling on Facebook and Instagram, which is one that you may or may not have considered before. But if you have a business Facebook page, and you can't do this on your personal site, it has to be a business page, you may or may not know that you can add a shop and you can sell your products directly on Facebook. And on Instagram, you can tag products into your posts and then a customer can click through to buy them on your website or wherever you want them to click through to. So this basically makes Facebook and Instagram quite shoppable. So in terms of what products this is best for, I guess most things. I think Facebook do have rules around what you can and can't sell, and you can obviously go and check these out. So the plus sides for doing this is that it's free. There isn't a fee involved in doing this. There might be a fee involved in the actual product setup. If, for example, in my case, I have a Shopify site and I have to pay for a different Shopify package because I want to use Facebook shops. So basically I want my Shopify site to integrate with Facebook, so I don't have to set up the Facebook shop as a separate entity. It's all tied through to my site and it all just integrates and I have to manage everything in one place, which I like automation, if you can't tell already. And that's my one of the other pros I wanted to mention, is that many e-commerce platforms do integrate with Facebook, which means you only need to set up and manage your listings in one place. And it also means that customers can browse and buy in one place without having to go to a separate website. So you can run Facebook ads to your Facebook shop or Instagram ads to your Instagram shop so that people can buy within the platform. And certainly actually within Instagram, even if people click on a shoppable post or an ad and they go through to buy your product, it goes through to your website, but the website actually opens up within Instagram, so within the same sort of browser window. So I think that's quite nice as well, is that sometimes people don't want to leave wherever they are to go and buy something. In terms of the downsides, so as I mentioned before, you'll need a Facebook business page to set up a shop in Facebook, and you'll need an Instagram business account with a connected business Facebook page if you want to sell there. So that might all sound, hopefully doesn't sound too technical. I think it's fairly straightforward. I certainly managed to get mine set up without too many issues, or I do know that people do. But I do think, you know, this is probably something that you can get a little bit of help on if needed. I find that it's actually quite hard to get engagement on Facebook now. I don't know if anyone else has an experience. I certainly do. So I guess one thing you might want to think about is if you weren't already thinking of setting up a Facebook page for your business, you know, if Facebook isn't a channel you use, wasn't one you were planning to use, you have to think about whether you want to and whether you have the time to keep up with a social media channel, because you don't really want to have a business Facebook page with a shop on it if that's the only content. I honestly don't think people, I could be wrong here, but I don't think anyone's particularly going to be happy to hand over their money and buy from a page that's just got a shop and absolutely, you know, nothing else on there. Unless, of course, maybe you have a link through to, you know, your business website, which has a bit more information. And I think it's also probably not the only place you'd want to be selling, because unless you've built up a good following and a good reputation, I don't know how likely it is that someone will buy something from someone they've never heard of on social media. I think I could be proven wrong here. And in fact, I bought something off a company on Instagram the other week that I'd never heard of. So perhaps I'm completely contradicting myself. But then again, they had lots of social proof. So they had an Instagram page with like 30,000 followers, you know, and a bit, you know, they had a website that I went through to where you could see reviews, they were on Trustpilot. I guess what I'm saying is if you're first starting out, this sort of thing might be a little bit harder. And again, that's not to put you off. That putting you off is never ever my intention with any of this. I just want to make sure that you think through what you're doing, because, you know, whatever marketplace or marketplaces you decide to sell on is an investment of time and probably a bit of money as well. And so I think that, you know, I just want you to have a think about everything that I've said, and then before deciding which marketplaces are right for you and which you're going to go ahead with, I think you also know you do need to go and do a bit more research on your own. So I think this episode is hopefully a really good starting point to give you some ideas of the places that you could sell that might work for you, for your products, and how you want to run your business. And you can now go and have a look at them further. In the blog post for this episode, I've also put lots of links to information about selling on various marketplaces. So some of them are links to posts on my own website where I've, you know, had experience selling somewhere, and I can actually talk from experience and share some best practice and hints and tips and things like that. And some of the links are to, you know, help pages for various sites, you know, designed to help you get started there. Also remember that it's definitely possible to sell in multiple places. It's also possible to try something and see if it works and stop if it doesn't, assuming you haven't put in too much investment, that is. And if you're feeling unsure or perhaps overwhelmed after this episode, first of all, no, that's not my intention. It's never my intention. This is quite a long episode, but I wanted it to be quite comprehensive. I just wanted to give you lots of, you know, honest information, and realistic as well. I think I'd always want to be, you know, be realistic with you and honest so that you can think about where you want to take this next. But if you are feeling really overwhelmed, I would suggest picking one marketplace plus your own website, because again, I think every brand should have their own website and start there. The thing is, you can always add in more channels as you go. So at the moment, I sell on about six different marketplaces. There are ones I haven't mentioned, so I sell on a site for sustainable products, for example. That didn't all happen overnight. I started off just selling on my own Shopify store and on Amazon. I then sort of over time started to sell in other places. There were some marketplaces that I sold on a few years ago that I don't sell on now, simply because, well, for various reasons, I don't think it's worth continuing. And that's, you know, you can stop things at any point. I think the main thing is that you start somewhere. So I would pick a marketplace that sounds good to you, that would be a good fit for your product. I would then do some more research into it to see if it, you know, if it is a really viable option. And then just, you know, get started there, and remember that you can stop and change at any point. So I really hope that episode was helpful. I'm aware that it was a long one. There was a lot of content. It might be one maybe you want to come back and listen to, maybe a time when you can take some notes. As I say, there is a a really detailed blog post to go alongside this as well, which covers everything we've spoken about, if you prefer that format. So as always, thank you so much for being here. Please do remember to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, and tell all of your friends. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to look forward to seeing you next week, where I have another fantastic interview to share with you. And until then, take care and have a fantastic week. Hi, this is just a little note. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.